All right, welcome back into the Nick Bob Podcast. This is part two of the 2022 Husker football season preview. On part one, yours truly and Bo Rude, we predicted the first six games of the season on the schedule. And on part two, we predict the final six games. So we're talking at Purdue, Illinois, Minnesota, at Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa on the road to wrap things up. Plus, at the end, we discuss a little bit of Frost in the CEO role, what we know and what we don't know about Casey Thompson and how good he'll be this year. And then we also have some fun talking about the identifying the five Huskers we are most excited to watch against Northwestern to kick off the season. All that and more is on part two. So let's get to it. Here is part two of the 2022 Husker football season preview. Enjoy. Game number seven. So we're 5-1. Nebraska's 5-1. According to Nick Baum Borut at this point.
Yep.
Game number seven at Purdue. I saw Purdue tweet out that that game is already sold out. They've already sold out that game.
Yeah.
I'll say this real quick. You know how there was this whole idea last year, boy, Nebraska was close. Nebraska could have won every game. I agree with that, except the Purdue game.
Yeah.
I know the score. Remember Nebraska had a late garbage touchdown, and then they had to kick an onside kick, and I guess the game technically ended one score.
Yeah.
Purdue kicked Nebraska's ass last year.
Bad.
So they did Purdue did lose Karlaftis, their great pass rusher, and they had a really good wide receiver, David Bell, that left. But Purdue, they went 9-3 last year. They beat Tennessee in a bowl game. They returned 17 starters, including their starting quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, who's solid. He's not great, but he's solid. I think Nebraska's going to lose this game. I have a loss at Purdue.
You know what's funny? It's like, I'm actually going to go Nebraska is going to win this game.
Okay.
I think everything I've been reading is this, like, O'Connell acting like he's the best quarterback in the country. And I was like, I never thought that when I watched him.
No. He made a couple of decent throws last year, but to me it was more about Karlaftis
and their receivers were really good.
Right. I mean, David Bell was a baller.
Yeah. They had a couple good receivers for the few years, but O'Connell's the best quarterback in the country.
Yeah, that's nonsense to me.
I maybe need to watch him again, but that's where I'm like, I think people think Purdue's better than they are. So I'm actually going to stick with Nebraska and the winning streak. it gets back on track, but that would put us at...
You'd have them at 6-1.
I'd have them at 6-1, yeah.
Oh, they'd be ranked probably, right?
Yes, by that point.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I'm picking the loss, but there are things. They return 17 starters, and whenever you return your quarterback, it's a good thing. But I'm with you. Like, Aiden O'Connell to me is not just a world beater.
Yeah.
And they lose their two best players. So
I think not having Karlaftis
is a huge deal.
That's the stuff. It's way easier to play a team when they don't have a top five, pass rusher on their team.
Was he a first rounder?
Yes, I believe so.
I was about to disrespect him and say he was the RC Cola to Aiden Hutchinson's Coca-Cola.
I mean, kind of was, but it's still let me
see. But Karlaftis was...
Where'd he go? He was first round.
He had to be, for sure, at worst, a second rounder.
Let's see here.
I think it's Karlaftis with a K.
Yeah.
As we're looking this up here.
He went 30th. To KC.
Okay, so there you go.
I mean, he's a
first rounder
defensive end. I mean, that's
big deal.
That's huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
There's only a handful of those guys on earth, and he's one of them.
Yeah.
He's one of those six guys that hey, the whole game changes now.
Right. So I think this game's going to be close. To me, this is one of the, there's a couple of games that are true coin flips. This is a coin flip to me.
I think we win it, but I think it's closer to a coin flip than not.
Okay, so I'm at 5-2, you're at 6-1.
Yes.
Heading into game number 8, which is Illinois in Lincoln. Nebraska is going to be coming off another bye week. They have their second bye week.
Hmm.
Clearly, we've talked revenge game from last year's just awful loss. Now, Illinois, they went 5-7. They were really good on defense, actually. They had a top 30. They were 30th ranked scoring defense in the country, but they were bad on offense. Brett Bielema hired a new offensive coordinator. I think Nebraska, they were the better team last year. They just pooped their pants a couple of times. I think Nebraska's going to win the game.
I think we win the game, too.
So you, I mean, look, you have quite the, so you are at 7, Bo's at 7-1. I am at 6-2.
Yeah. This is why it was hard in that Oklahoma game, because I knew it was going to get to this. Like, shit.
Okay, here
Kool-Aid
we go.
Kool-Aid drinking mug.
Then after this, everybody's going to go celebrate Halloween, and then the calendar goes to November. And November, it is not a November to remember.
I hope our November's not always like this.
I mean, this November is like, you're going to play, I mean, it's, so Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, all in November.
Okay.
Keep in mind, little side note thing, Nebraska, remember how fortunate Nebraska was last year? It was like unseasonably amazing weather for every game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
just
good.
Just a little thought, like it was every game, even like the Iowa game, it was
does that
nice.
Help us or hurt us?
I always think against those teams, if it's cold, I like, all those teams are cold weather teams.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Iowa, they want to take you. They want to take you into a like into a blizzard and just snowball you to death.
Yeah, I think especially Minnesota's good in the cold.
Okay, so here we go. First game in November, Minnesota in Lincoln, Emmett Memorial Stadium. Gophers went 9-4 last year, beat West Virginia in a bowl game. They lost a lot of key guys on defense, and they lost an All Big Ten center on offense. They do return their quarterback Tanner Morgan,
Ibrahim.
Mo Ibrahim.
Coming off his
torn Achilles. He's a really good player. You don't know how Achilles are.
Yeah, that's a tricky one to know what kind of back he'll be after that. It is at the end of the year. If he gets his feet under him, he should be rolling by then.
But they did have two other guys. Chris Autumn Bell and Trey Potts came in and filled in pretty good at running back.
Yeah. I just think that, in my opinion, PJ Fleck has played us as good as anybody. I think you know, if I'm going to get us to 7-1 at this point, I think this is going to be a very winnable, a 50-50 game that I'm saying is going to go against us here.
Yeah.
I don't like to say it, because I got family in Minnesota. I got a couple of Gophers in the family.
Of course.
But I got to say that I think this will be a letdown game for us.
You said it. PJ Fleck he's got 3 straight wins against Nebraska and Scott Frost. The Gophers last year, they were top 10 scoring defense, rush defense, pass defense, total defense. Like,
yeah.
They're going to be tough. They're going to control the ball. They're going to control the clock. It's going to be hammer, 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 play action, hammer, 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 play act. Like, you know what they're going to try to do. I, unfortunately, am with you. I think Minnesota, they've just had Nebraska's number. Fleck has had Frost's number. I think Minnesota comes to Lincoln first week in November and beats Nebraska.
Yep.
So
I think that's probably right.
6-3 for me. This gets you to 7-2.
Yep.
All right. On to game number 10. On the road at Michigan in Ann Arbor, mid-November. Could be snow, could be cold in a mug.
That's going to be a hard game to win for anybody in the country. I think that right now, I'm not saying we can't win that. You know, some games, like, there's no pause. Like, obviously we can win. This is probably not a coin flip. This is probably more like it's a 60 or 70% favoring.
Oh, I'd go like 75.
Yeah,
25.
Favoring Michigan. I'd probably say 70, 75. That's probably good. You know, if our offense really develops as the year goes on, I mean, I like pushing this closer to the 50-50, but right now I got to say, I think this is going to be a hard one to win. I'll probably go Michigan on this.
Because Michigan returns 14 starters. They lost Eric Chenander's calendar cover guy, Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, man.
But a place like Michigan typically has dudes in the waiting. Like,
they've got a bunch of first rounds. I mean, they're stocked. Jr. They're going to be, you know, they were just in the national title game. And I mean, we gave them our best punch last year. That was a great game. I was so proud of how hard we played. It was a battle. And, you know, obviously it was sad how it ended. But that was our best punch at home. Fourth quarter, you know, code red going off. Like, unbelievable atmosphere, and we couldn't get it done. I have a hard time thinking we're going to go
because if that game wasn't in Lincoln, that game strikes me as a game that it that's where home field in college makes a huge difference. Like if that game is in Ann Arbor, I think it's closer to like 42 to 14. Because
remember the first half we couldn't score.
I remember. We went to your brother's office and sat. And I told you, I said, how is Nebraska going to score?
We didn't know. And then they started lighting it up a little bit. You know, Ramir had a big half.
Yeah.
You know,
Then the defense gets the pick.
But the first half, you would have been like, if that's in Ann Arbor, ooh, I don't know.
So that's where, offensively, Cade McNamara is back at quarterback. Solid player. Blake Corum is back at running back. If Michigan returns, they return their entire wide receiver and tight end core back.
And they had a good tight end. They had...
Yeah, they ran the tight end delay a bunch.
They got some good D linemen other than Hutchinson that now are going to be even better.
So I think you already said it.
Are we going to be able to block those guys?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't think so. I got Nebraska losing this game, as do you. So that was game number 10. So you have 7-3. And I'm at 6-4. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Game number 11, Wisconsin in Lincoln. Real quick, hard to take much from last year's game to a certain extent, because remember, the first game after Frost fired Greg Austin, Verduzco, Lubick. Like, that was the first
Logan
game.
Logan Smothers started.
That was Martinez. And then you're thinking Iowa.
Oh, yeah,
it was Ohio State.
Martinez,
then,
But we gave up the opening kickoff.
Yes.
Yes, that was.
But despite all that, remember, it was a horrific missed pass interference call on Xavier Betts late that would have given Nebraska the ball inside the 10 that could have tied the game.
Yep.
But it's kind of hard to know what to take from last year's matchup. Wisconsin went 9-4, beat Arizona State in a bowl game. Their defensive numbers are always number one rush defense, number one total defense, number four in scoring defense.
Jim Leonard is the coordinator. He's been a problem since he's gotten there. He's been a big problem for us. They just play great, solid defense. The quarterback, Graham Mertz. So Mertz is a guy that I don't have a ton of confidence in. So that to me gives me a little bit more confidence.
Oh, yeah.
I consider this one a 50-50 coin flip, but guess who's at home? I think this is the get the monkey off the back Wisconsin game. I really do. I think we lose to Minnesota. I think we lose to Michigan. I think we bounce back against Wisconsin.
Okay. I wish we were different human beings, but we are not. I agree. I think this is finally Nebraska gets over the hump against Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yep.
Now it's going to be, remember Braylon Allen, that true freshman running back.
Oh,
he had 228 yards. Just another, like, he's got tree trunks for legs. He's good.
I'm with you.
Graham Mertz, 11 interceptions, 10 touchdowns last year. Graham Mertz is not great.
I don't get a ton of confidence from him. So that gives me hope. But yeah, that running back was good, and he'll only get better. So
no, but you're right. This game's, I mean, it's a coin flip. I'm gonna pick Nebraska to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they finally get over the hump. I think they're at home. Crowd's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Usually quarterback play on the road can be important.
Make them one dimensional. You take away, you stack the box, you make that Mertz beat you. And
yes,
I think that could. I just think they're due against Wisconsin. They've had just Wisconsin's.
I agree. Okay, so then I'm at 7-4. You're at 8-3. Game number 12 on the road at Iowa Black Friday. Now, I don't got to remind everybody of all the piss away games. This one's up there. I still think Michigan State's the ultimate piss away game, but 21-6 late third quarter. Iowa rips off 22 unanswered
late
points.
Late third quarter.
Yes.
Late.
Now, but the one positive to that was Logan Smothers was under center for that whole game, and Nebraska felt like they were the better team.
It's just nuts. It's nuts,
you know, and Iowa
that.
Won 10 games last year.
It's
so
nuts
it's
to say that
though. It is right, but you know what Iowa's gonna be like. They're gonna be defensive led. They're gonna have a quarterback that manages the game. They win the turnover battle. They were top 15 defense. They were top 15 in turnover margin. Really good on special teams. That's what they do.
Yeah,
that's what they do. They return 17 starters overall. I think that defense is going to be really good. I don't think, much like Graham Mertz, I don't think Spencer Petras is very good for Iowa, their quarterback.
Yeah.
But I don't know how good they need him to be. I have Nebraska losing this game.
I think this is, it's such a coin flip. This is a coin flip to me as well. But like I'm looking at just, it's kind of one of those like, what are we going to be at? You know, last week of the season next year, that is such an unknown. Like, because we have our offense is it's on these new dudes. You know, like we have so many of these new dudes, new coordinator. Like, what are we going to be at the end of the year? I don't know. The way I've had the season playing out is like we get off to a great start, we really get some momentum. Like we do kind of like our max out. I think the end of the year gets hard.
Yes.
I just don't know how much depth we have at like the O-line, the D-line. You know, like, are those things going to catch up to us? I think all those things adding up, I go, I can't put us at 9 wins at this point. Like, the number 8 wins is where I got to stick. So I think this falls to a loss just as like, look, that's
just kinda, the principle of it.
The principle of it is like, are we, have we proven we're a 9 win team?
See, what's funny
yet?
Is I think the same thing about 8. Like, I'm at 7-5 for the season.
You're 7-5. Okay.
You're 8-4, and you're everything you're saying. I have the, like about like I'm gonna get them at 8. They gotta prove it to me before I give them 9. Yeah. I got them at 7. They gotta prove it to me before I'm gonna put them at 8.
Yeah, yeah. I think
even though I think it could happen, but the thing that'll be interesting. So there you go. So 7-5 for me, 8-4 for you.
Yes.
The thing that's interesting in this scenario, let's use mine for example, is what the vibe will be like. You have the roaring start. I have them starting 5-0 and then finishing 2-5.
Yeah.
And what the kind of vibe is like down the stretch if with all those losses. Now, it'll help you beat a Wisconsin. It makes a big difference.
You beat Northwestern, Oklahoma, Nick, the rest of the year can be... You can almost lose out. I don't think it matters. Nebraska hasn't had a signature win and a winning streak.
And they haven't beaten Wisconsin or Iowa. Like I think yes. I think those kinds of things, those are like those checkpoints.
If you win 6 or 7 games and you have a couple of those good wins, I think it's going to be okay. I mean, in terms of
Frost like, coming back.
The Frost era totally continuing. Agree. Like I think that's kind of the what I think is like the important thing of the year is like what are we going to get? Like are we keeping what we have in Frost and his staff? And, you know, this sort of like, you know, this
new iteration of the Frost era. Yeah.
Like, and that's what this year is about is like, are they going to get, you know, over that hump to like keep, because then he's going to get a new contract
yep.
and he'll get a few more years.
Right.
I mean, that's the way it'll work. I mean, they're not going to give him a new contract and fire him after a year. So he's got to get 6-7. And if he gets 8, great. 9, I mean, blow your minds good that would be. But I just think, yeah, it's going to be – that's why the start of the year, I think it's going to go good for us.
It's huge.
But it's – yeah, that would set us up for, I think, a potentially very good year.
Because I agree. I think you and I have always been in lockstep that I think all they got to do is get to 6 wins and they're coming back. I think if they go to a bowl game, that Frost is coming back. I'm not one of those guys that thinks they got to get to 8 wins or whatever for Frost to come
back. If he gets to a bowl game, I think he keeps his job.
Right.
Right? If it's not like humiliating losses like we always talk about that we've seen in years and years past with like Riley and
Right. Yeah, you can't have Michigan can't beat you 62-10. Iowa can't beat you 45-3. Yeah. Minnesota can't come in and win 31-7. You know what I mean? Like, as long as, yeah, I guess those types of things aren't happening, which I don't anticipate them to happen. So, I don't know. Like, as you was, did anything stand out as you were, I think, as you were, you put a pen to paper and really go through the prediction, it really, really, God, the start of the year sets up. Like, Nebraska has to take advantage to how the first five games shake out.
I mean, really, like, yeah, you got the Oklahoma game at 4, but then it's like Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue, Illinois. Like,
right, even those are the
get your wins. Go get as many wins as
you can.
You're
right, I didn't think about that. Like, even though those are, and I think a lot of people would be like, dude, Nebraska's lost those teams.
We have.
I get it, but they're not, those teams aren't Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan.
That's what I'm saying. Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota are the top of the division in the conference. These other teams have been beating us, but they're not those teams.
Like, right.
They are more easily, those are easier wins where you don't have to play your absolute perfection game to win, like what you would have to against Michigan. You have to be perfect almost. Illinois, you got to just like play a solid B plus game and you should win. Don't play a C minus or a D.
Yeah, and Nebraska went to Purdue in the COVID year and hung 37 on them.
So I'm saying, like, those are beatable teams. Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue, Illinois, beat those teams and like you will have the program intact.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, I think that's the start of the season. It's twofold. It's like it's really, really important to get off to a good start.
Yeah,
and even October, while there are, you know, at Purdue is going to be a hard game, all those kinds of things. Like, even like you better, when the calendar turns to November, you better have some hay in the barn.
It's funny you said that. We're talking about house money, right?
Yeah.
Northwestern, North Dakota, Georgia, and Southern. Gives you house money against Oklahoma. Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue, Illinois. Gives you house money against the November squad.
You better, it would be in Nebraska's best interest to have a bowl bid locked up heading into November.
And then you just go try, then you just play loose.
Right.
You're not coaching for your coach's jobs.
Because that's the other thing that'll be interesting that's hard to predict with these things is we've seen some games where the Iowa game comes and Riley's a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Or Bo, I know, I have been told by two media members that Bo in 2013 against Iowa at home, remember that was a game Bo like tried to like hit the official with his hat at one point and then dared Eichhorst to fire him in the postgame press conference.
Yeah.
I was told that a couple of those position coaches on the field before the game were like shaking some of the media members' hands, being like, this is it for us. We've appreciated all the coverage.
Yeah.
Like those guys thought they were going to get fired.
Yep.
And you could kind of feel that. Then obviously same thing in 2014. It felt like it was over for Bo.
Yep.
So I bring that up to say, like, the great variable in all this is how the season plays out, because how, like, when this Wisconsin game comes, the circumstances could be, you never know. Nebraska could be, if they're having your kind of a season, they could be in the Big Ten West title hunt.
They should be.
But they could also be coaching for Frost's job.
Yep.
So it's a hard, that if variable.
If they get to November and have 2 or 3 wins, that means they got to run the table to get to a bowl game.
And then
it's pressure. You know, I don't know if Trev is going to even mess with contract extensions until the year is over. But, like, let's say they do win 6 out of their first 7 or 8. You know, you could then give him an extension so you know, to help with recruiting.
There was,
they do that sometimes.
Yes.
But I don't think if he doesn't have more than 2 or 3 wins going into November, like, you know, that's kind of the mark. Because did he say October?
October 1st. There's something with his contract on October 1st where the buyout and the because he took a salary reduction.
Yeah, like, the buyout gets cheaper.
Everything changes. So it just would be interesting when you get to that date, because that's the Indiana game.
Indiana game. So it'll be Oklahoma, Indiana. And then probably post that is where we'll see, like,
I think we'll have a pretty good idea of where this thing's headed.
Oh, if they beat Oklahoma, he's getting an extension.
But even if they're 4-1,
and then they go to Indiana.
Let's say they beat Northwestern, beat North Dakota, beat Georgia Southern, lose to Oklahoma, and beat Indiana, and they're 4-1.
I think it'd be hard to give an extension until you get to the 6 wins. I think if you get, then you got Rutgers, Purdue, Illinois, and after Illinois, you could potentially get to 6.
Yeah.
And you get 6, I think you get the extension. And then you say, go take a swing, go have a November to remember, but it doesn't matter.
So you know? I think the big thing is both you and I have Nebraska getting to a bowl, 8 wins, 7 wins. And then obviously because of that, we both have Frost returning. He's going to continue to be the coach. He's coming back.
Yeah.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious, all-white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. 2-year-old Mac, 6-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better. Two other things real quick before we get out of here. You brought it up in your concerns. It's amazing how much, as I've spent an absurd amount of time, as have you, thinking about the season, talking about the season, dissecting every angle about this team. And I haven't spent a ton of time talking about Casey Thompson. He was one of your concerns, and it's not because you think, like, it wasn't a concern like, I think he stinks and it's a problem. It's more of a concern because you just don't know. And I will say, as I woke up this morning to Marvin crying at 4:45 a.m., I thought about Casey Thompson. And just the fact that here we are heading into the first week, and I'm not sure I can remember a season where I have less of a sense of what Nebraska has at quarterback. Either way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you know why we've always had, even from when I was a kid, it was like we always had a starter, and then we had the backup heir apparent. And you always got to see that guy in garbage time. You got to see him, like, in person, usually, like, play. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, I guess I played with Zach Taylor, and he was a transfer JUCO guy. But since then, it's been
Tanner Lee was a transfer. But Tanner Lee had a lot of hype around him. And at that point, Mike Riley had a little bit of cachet with his quarterbacking coaching. But Tanner Lee, I didn't have a feel for, although I kind of bought into him for some reason. But you could argue that Casey Thompson has just as much, if not better, credentials than Tanner Lee does.
Oh, I mean, Casey Thompson was at Texas. Like, he was the starting quarterback at Texas.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. The one thing I wrote down that I think matters as I was thinking about Casey Thompson. We talked about it. I remember I was on the road doing a Marquette game when Casey Thompson announced he was coming here, and you and I recorded a podcast on the road, and I was in a hotel in Milwaukee. One of the first things you and I both said that matters is the fact that he's been at a big program.
Big stage.
Big stage. Big fishbowl. Big scrutiny. He's the weight of being the starting quarterback at Nebraska, to me, isn't going to bother him.
No.
And I really think that matters.
In a weird way, he doesn't, like, he seems pretty calm and pretty loose. Like I was listening to his press conference. He said the only game he's ever been nervous about was his first start at Texas last year. And he's like, he goes, Oklahoma last year? He goes, the loosest I've ever felt.
Right.
So, I mean, that right there will tell you, like, he's not going to be uptight, I don't think. I really don't think he's going to be.
I don't think he is either.
And which is what they kind of need.
Right. It's just weird. But the only other thing is that, like, and again, this is where we go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because we just need a game. And any quote we see, we just like slide it under a microscope and we're looking at it like it's a, you know, a freaking whatever. Whatever the devil is in. Whatever the devil, it is the scientist. Look, amoebas? What? Is this a single cell?
I took a class. This was so many years ago. What's it called? Like each cell has the member.
Whatever it is that people are looking at in microscopes. But the one thing you haven't really heard, you haven't necessarily heard teammates raving about him.
No, but I think he needs... I think it's hard. I think it's hard sometimes with transfers is like, you're not one of the dudes yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, and... You know, I think he comes from Texas, so he's not like, it's not like he's like, I don't know. I think with him, it's a little challenge because he came from Texas, which I think it's sometimes it's hard. It's hard when like Texas is considered right now like a more elite program than Nebraska right now.
Right.
Even though like historically, I would say Nebraska historically is better than Texas.
Oh, of course.
But like, I think... You just think Texas, you think, oh, it's better recruiting, better all this stuff, but over the last 10 years. But I don't know. I just think he has.
It's just an observation. I just like, I don't think that I don't know. I've heard, I just haven't heard, you know, a bunch of people just like rate, like Casey Thompson, dude, is a. I remember hearing rumbles about Taylor Martinez. Like, I remember hearing, I remember like, dude, yeah. There's this dude.
Yeah.
That is fucking. Fast as fuck and is killing everyone at like you hear little things
I
just haven't really heard a lot about
because
Casey.
I don't
now, I haven't
know,
heard anything bad I haven't heard
that's
anything
what,
be like
Nick I think he's
guy.
In there for the very reason that like what you're saying he's in the portal because he's not freaking nature talented. You know why? Because if he was that talented, Texas wouldn't have let him go.
Right,
they brought in somebody else saying like, well, this is the number one recruit in the country. Casey Thompson is here because he has experience. He's old. He can manage the game, and he's a pretty good player.
Right.
But you don't hear him like being like an NFL arm or like – I don't think he's that. And so we have to understand he's not going to be, I think, the guy that just like puts the whole team on his back. We need the team to be good, and we need him to just manage games.
Right.
I think it's in
clutch
a weird
throws,
way.
Don't turn it over.
We don't want to call him a game manager, but like I kind of that's what I think he is.
Well, and the thing is, he turns 24 in October.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I don't know that he's a pro, right? So if he's not a pro, nobody's talking about him being a pro. Then okay, like then that means this is his year, and Oklahoma's his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We need him to have the year of his life for what his ceiling is, which is, I don't know, maybe like be the quarterback that can turn Nebraska,
which is pretty damn good.
Which is good. And then like, can he have a chance at the pros? Maybe. But like, I don't get the sense that that's the kind of arm he has or the game he has. Like, I think he's going to be a old game manager for us.
Again, for the record, I'm not like... I bring up this conversation where it's like we all know the it's the most important position in sports. Oftentimes, your confidence in a team usually is a direct reflection in your confidence in your starting quarterback. Yeah. The majority of the time, now college can be a little different. You can have an okay quarterback and still be a really good team. But my point remains the same. And I'm just sitting here thinking about all the different ways I've talked about the team, all the different ways I've thought about the team. And I have no real feeling. Like, I think I can't sit here and be like, I think Casey Thompson is going to have a great year. I don't know. I think he's going to have a good. I'd be surprised if he goes out there and just is terrible and gets benched and is. No. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. But it's just I think you get what I'm saying here. Yes. It's just it's a weird feeling.
He came out of spring ball. I think he had the thumb. I think he, you know, we saw him in the spring game and it was an ugly spring game for the offense. So like there was nothing to get excited about watching the offense in the spring game. But you know, like I said, I everything he did at Texas shows me like, well, that you shouldn't be not excited for the guy because he put up points against Oklahoma and then bowl, like he's played in big games and done well. Like that to me is like relief that we got. At
totally
least
agree.
That, you know?
Yes. Other last thought and then we'll run. The other thing that's interesting to think about is, are we sure Frost is good in this new role? Like, is he good? You've been on, obviously, more football teams than me. Like, I think there's a difference in, like, the CEO head coach and the coach that is, you know, he's basically the coordinator for one side of the ball.
Yeah.
And it just is interesting to try to really kind of ask yourself, are we totally sure? And I'm not sure it necessarily matters a ton. No, that's a stupid comment because it has to matter.
Well, you're thinking about it as like his title hasn't changed. His title is head coach.
Yes.
Will he be a better head coach not having to be the coordinator? I think so.
Right.
I mean, Nick, it's basically saying like, can he do a better job overall if he's not just coordinating? And I think, yes, he can. I think it'll help fix other things with his time and focus. Now, the question is like, will Whipple's offense be better than Frost's offense? And that's to be determined.
Yeah, you would sure hope.
Right? I don't think you can argue that, like, can you be a better head coach if you spend less time on general everything? I think you probably can't.
Right.
But you're often, like, if you're uniquely gifted at offense and that's how you want to do it, that's fine. If you got help from other, you know, assistant head coaches and defensive coordinators, special teams coordinator, whatever. But I think what, like, our problems have been like big team philosophy, game management stuff that like he'll have more time on.
Yes. Because he even said it yesterday in his press conference on Sunday. He was like, with my head not buried in a play sheet, I'll be able to see other things, be involved with other things in the game, which is going to make a difference. It's just interesting to think about, like, we just kind of use, we say, like, and then Frost is going to go to that CEO role, and then we move on to something else. And it's like, well, hold on.
Is he good at that?
Is he good at this?
And now, I don't know necessarily how to answer that.
I don't either. Because, I'm just asking these questions.
Yeah, because if I'm thinking through it, I guess you'd only know if you're behind the closed doors.
Yeah.
And you'd have to see, like, here's Frost busy being a coordinator. Here's Frost not busy. And you go, oh, there's 10 extra things he's thinking about that he wouldn't have got to think about that we're seeing. I don't know if that's happening. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I got to think it will help.
Yes. I think if
Whipple's not good, it doesn't help. If Whipple's good, it will help a lot.
I agree because
Frost is smart too. He's a smart guy.
I agree. And one thing that I always defer to, like, you know, Barrett has always told you that, like, the one thing Scott's actually really good at is like the right message to the team.
He's good at conveying it.
That. Like, I almost think Coach Altman was a little like this, was better. Coach Altman was better talking to, like, the team than he was talking to you as an individual.
Yeah.
And so maybe there'll be a little bit more of that. I just think Frost will be able to be around special teams more. Be able to, I'd imagine you'd have a better feel for the game on whether to go for it on fourth down, whether to you know, those kinds of things. Like,
you're just thinking about the full picture, offense, defense, special teams all the time.
Right.
And like I say, when you're coordinating, I mean, you are thinking about plays. Like, okay, it's like,
yeah,
here's our third and six to eight plays we like, and okay, we did that in the first quarter, and this is what they did. Like, you're going through all that stuff.
And then even the week of preparation, you are just immersed in the game plan and scheme of things.
Yeah, and sometimes I think even, like, sometimes head coaches will just be like, they'll have a few things they'll want to do throughout a game that they'll be like, they might be like to the special teams coordinator, like, hey, what do you think about the onsides here?
Yeah.
Or what do you think? You know, like, they'll have a better intuition for those things.
Totally agree.
They're just in it. They're watching the whole thing. Time management, play, you know, I think that will help. But Whipple's got to be good too.
Agree. Overall, just, I think Nebraska, my confidence in this team is in the fact that one of the things you said, I think Nebraska is going to, they have five, you call them inside, outside linebackers that are pretty damn good players. Yeah. Caleb Tanner, O'Shawn Mathis, Garrett Nelson, Luke Reimer, and Nick Henrich, pretty damn good.
Yep.
I think their two corners are pretty good, Newsom and Tommy Hill. I think the fact that they finally have a dedicated coach, it's the first period of every practice is what I've heard, is special teams with Bill Bush. They got all new specialists there. I got to think that takes a step forward. I think Mickey Joseph, upgrade. Brian Applewhite, upgrade. Mark Whipple, when you take in the combination of everything, I think he's probably an upgrade right now. Or at least isn't going to be a step back. Raiola, maybe a little bit of a question mark. But I think a lot of the changes are changes that I like and feel pretty good about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, ultimately what this is, it's funny, we sit here and we can talk about X, Y, Z, this, that, and other, and Nebraska going to be in a lot of one-score games. How do they do in those games? That's probably going to shape the year.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just too hard to know. Like, it's too different of a team. It really is. It's too different of a team. But like I said, I feel optimistic because the additions we made were big improvements.
Oh,
I mean, we didn't have them. I would have. You want to go through that list of what our year would have been if it had been, you know, Oliver Martin, Logan Smothers,
Wyatt Lever,
Brody Belt, and then our starting running
Ramir
back would
Johnson
be
and
Ramir, you know, or what's the guy, the Southern Cal guy that came for a year?
Marquis Stepp.
Yeah, like, I mean,
yeah,
I'd be like,
yeah,
it wouldn't feel as good.
No.
But like we brought in the mercenaries, and they're pretty good.
Frost has given this thing the best chance for it to work. Not saying it's 1,000% a sure thing, but he has given himself the best chance for this thing to work. Real quick, I just thought of this. Who are the, give me the, you don't have to get to five players you're most excited to see this week.
Trey Palmer.
Yep, he was on my list. Mathis.
Mathis is for sure there. Casey Thompson.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know who the running back's going to be, but I think I kind of want to see the Grant kid. I want to see the Grant kid just because I've seen Irvin. I think Irvin will be playing. He'll be good.
Sounds like he's had a hell of a camp. He's made a pretty good push.
Yeah, I think Irvin's going to be hard to keep out of the starting lineup. And then, you know, defensively...
It's natural to go to newcomers, but I'm excited to watch Garrett Nelson play.
Nelson, how big of a leap has Nelson made this year? Yeah, that's probably good.
So those would be my five that off the top of my head. Casey Thompson, Trey Palmer, Anthony Grant, O'Shawn Mathis, Garrett Nelson. I'm interested to watch Tommy Hill play.
Tommy Hill and the safeties too. I think whoever's that. I think we've seen Miles Farmer play and kind of know what he is. He's a bigger guy, not necessarily a burner, but just like, you know, smart football player. Who's ever the other corner? If it's Buford, if it's the Northern Iowa kid, I'm interested to see that spot too.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, defensive line, Ty, and it's going to be
Ty Robinson,
Wynn,
Feist,
Huttmacher, and Feist will probably be the other three. But you know what you're getting in Ty. It's that other spot. Be interesting to see too.
But I will say this. Those five guys we listed, I'm very excited to watch them play. And I'm excited to see, like, what does Whipple's offense look like?
Yeah. And
what is this going to look like? Oh, I know I wanted to ask you. This is also, remember the whole thing last year when Frost was like, Illinois came out in a different front and we had to throw half of our playbook out? Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
And how there was that element of, like, they didn't know what Illinois was going to do. You know who's got that going for them? Nebraska. Right now, Fitz is pulling up, like, wasn't Whipple at, like, UMass? You'd be like, what did he do at UMass when it was third down? Like,
well, he'll watch the pit.
Oh, he's going to watch the pit.
But
I'm just saying,
it's a different team and a different personnel. Like, And Frost,
Kenny Pickett, and like, you,
Frost has his stuff. So like, the nice part with Frost stuff last year is it's that option crap, where right, it's like, you know how much time you got to spend on that in practice. So like, that's the beauty of this kind of, for us, is, you know, Northwestern got a new coordinator last year and it was a struggle. So it's the same guy, you know, with a little bit more experienced team. So they should be better than last year. But man, it's like, he's got himself a job to do.
Yeah.
For this game, because yeah,
good luck. It's hard. I mean, like, think of, put yourself in Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern shoes. It's like, you don't have any. I mean, you're watching Pitt. Obviously, yeah, you're going to study a lot of Pitt, but like,
Pitt and our stuff, and watch our spring game and go, what are they doing?
Well, Trey, like, Palmer, what do they like to do with Trey Palmer? You don't know for sure. So nope, you got that going for him. But those guys with Mathis, Casey Thompson, Palmer, Grant, like, I'm really, like, excited to watch those guys.
I want to see which receivers are going to be our guy, because it sounds like now that Washington from Texas is now, like, they're talking about him almost like, I didn't hear his name the first 2 weeks of camp, and now it's almost sound like he's going to be one of the two or three starters.
Yes.
I mean, him, Palmer, I'm not sure about the Garcia Castaneda. And then you got Alante Brown, you got a few of these other guys, Martin, that are like Oliver Martin.
Like, yeah. It's the Marcus Washington name. He's definitely made a late surge here. Frost talked about how he said that side of the ball needed an infusion of confidence. Yeah. And he referenced Palmer and Marcus Washington are almost confident to a fault.
I like that.
Receivers kind of got to be
receivers,
like,
and DBs should be the cockiest be guys on, like, your team.
Yes.
If they're, you know, number one is usually the cockiest guy in the team. And I think is it Tommy Hill? Number one? Oh, it's the cockiest guy in the team.
So if your number is number one,
you're probably the cockiest guy in the team.
That's a great theory. Isn't that right? I didn't know that. Yeah. I think I like that.
Oh, I always believed that.
LP, yeah. Lawrence Phillips.
He wasn't unconfident.
I wouldn't say Lawrence Phillips was cocky, but that dude was.
I mean, yeah, that's usually the number. Like, it's key. It was a Keyshawn was one. Like,
yeah,
that's usually the number you're like, you
oh,
are.
Oh, Tommy Hill is zero. You to be zero. You're almost
zero confident.
I don't even need just zero, bro. You know how many people beat me deep?
Zero.
Yeah,
it's confident. How many people are going to beat me deep this year?
Zero. Okay. Zero. So there you go. I'm so excited, man.
I am too. I'm just.
Well, people need to, if you like us together, you're going to get a lot of us here. We're going to be doing a lot of content for you guys throughout the season. Obviously, our game recaps are going to be back. We got some other stuff cooking for some midweek stuff that we're still working through, but it's going to be a lot of Bo Rude Nick Baugh with Husker football this
year. Yeah, I would say get ready for twice a week, Sunday and a midweek probably is what we're looking at. Every single week.
Ooh, baby.
Get ready. It's going to be a heck of a ride. Buckle the chin straps, as they say.
Here we go.
And if we get some wins, it's going to be even more fun.
Oh, I can't wait.
It'll be fun either way.
Either way, we always try to make it fun, but it's more fun when Nebraska's
We talk our way through hard losses and have lots of laughs, but if we're winning, we're going to be so proud.
I can't wait. Well, all right. Next time I talk to you, we'll know the result of the Northwestern game, at least from when we're on the pod here.
Hopefully they're playing that new hit single by that guy. I don't know his name, but it's called Mascot Facts.
A Huda Media Production.